Sing the wonders of
Oh, the saints of God.
Amen. But before that, we still have work to be done. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing that song, "In These, the Closing Days of Time."
Amen.
Amen. When we all desire to get there, where we'll wear our crown and our new body. Amen.
In these, the closing days of time.
Prepare.
Amen.
You deserve the glory.
you, Father, for the privilege once again to be found in your presence.
Amen.
We know, Lord, that behind sacrifice there is a blessing.
Amen.
And as I always believe that you know the needs of the believers here, Lord. And you just take me out of the way. Use my mortal lips to speak your living awakening. Thank you, Father, for the good rest I've had. Thank you for this church, Lord. The way I've been welcomed here. Nowadays, with what's happening all over the world, with the apostasy everywhere. But for a man of God to be able to leave his pulpit, he must have trust in you. And I appreciate that, Father. And thank you also for the word of the hour, for the scripture we're going to read. Even if I've been preparing myself, but we still need you, Lord. We want you to close my mouth to the things that you don't want me to say, Lord. I don't want to bring my mind to the people. The best for them tonight would be for you to speak to them, to address each issue in their lives. Thank you, Father. I pray for the pastor here.
Amen.
I believe that every pastor needs you.
Amen.
So many things that go with the ministry, Lord.
Amen.
It's a burden.
Yes, Father.
And without you, we cannot do anything, Father.
Amen.
So I pray for him. I pray for his family.
Amen.
I pray for this work here in Dublin.
Amen.
And whatever outreach they are involved in, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I pray for every man, every office behind that ministry here.
Amen.
That you bless each one of them and bless our family also. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated for a while. I know it's Wednesday evening. I don't want to keep you long. But we'll leave the Holy Ghost to do his work. In fact, I had another title tonight, another thing to bring. I gave it to the brother shepherd on Sunday. He was asking me which title. Therefore, I gave the two titles, morning and afternoon. But I changed there. And then I was in the room those 2 days. I'm so happy that I've had a place to be able to rest and then to relax my mind a bit. Therefore, I came with that message, a little message, which I believe will be, if what I'm going to preach tonight will be for one person only, I'm going to leave Dublin a happy person.
Amen.
And I want to thank the pastor for the very good welcome. I want to say thank you that after so many years, 8 years after, to have come here and to have received such a welcome, I appreciate it.
Amen.
Thank you for everything. I heard there's a brother who left me with a coat and a shirt. I want to say thank you to the brother.
Amen.
And may the Lord richly bless him for that.
Amen.
And also, I've been given accommodation by another brother. I appreciate it. And he knew how that sometimes a minister needs rest. And I'm a man that likes to seclude myself. I like to isolate myself. It's very good sometimes for a man of God to be like that. And I want to thank all Brother Vlad also for being so kind to come and get me at the airport and have some rest. For everybody, I can't name everyone, but you have been so helpful to me. I appreciate it. But the only thing I know, Hebrews chapter 6, somewhere it is said that God is not forgetful about the works that you do for him, but the love that you show to the saints. In due time, God will reward you for that.
Hallelujah.
But tonight, I've got a little thought to bring about. Maybe the title will be strange to you. It's the harder way.
Amen.
Or if you want to take it, also the easy way.
Amen.
Or the harder way, whichever you want to take it tonight. I want to show you a way of blessing.
Amen.
And the way that God deals. Sometimes I like to preach doctrinal issues in my own church. when I go everywhere, I make it like a duty. Unless the pastor wants me to address some doctrine, if we can get along, agree on what we want to talk. But yet, I avoid it every time. I don't want that. I want to be able to bring something that might be helpful to you, that you might that you can apply to your practical daily life. I'm sure that we face, each one of us, our dosage of problems, of trials. Therefore, I believe there's enough in the Word of God to solve those things, you know. Amen. But one thing I want to tell you, you won't be able to avoid those trials. That's the will of God for you to have those things. That's the way He found it wise in the Bible to perfect His bride, to perfect the believers. There's no way out of it than to go through trials, through those difficult moments. We don't like them, but yet we should have them. And that's the will of God. Let's stand for the reading of the Word. It was a strange scripture that I read that drew my attention to a little word. You know, sometimes a little word, you know, a minister while you are meditating, sometimes you're reading many scriptures and then just a little word hits your mind, you know? And then God began to show you things from that little word. I like what the prophet says. Sometimes we can come here and say many things from the pulpit. We can talk many words, but one word from Christ will suffice. When he told Peter, come, bid me, Lord. If it's you, bid me, Lord, to walk on the water. Only one word, come. That one word gave him the strength to walk on the water. Amen. Sometimes I thought maybe Peter didn't walk on the water. It's a way of expressing myself. He walked on the word. The word he received, you know? That word was like something solid under his feet. Huh? Let's read verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 25. A little word we'll take from there and we'll see how the prophet interpreted. I'm happy to see my friend here. We met yesterday. He's from Congo. God bless you. Huh? And the other brother also, God bless you tonight. I think they're here for 2 years. Huh?
Yes, brother.
God bless you. 2 Kings 25, verse 1. And it came to pass in the 9th year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came. He and all his host against Jerusalem and pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about. And the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. That's the way the enemy likes to do things, to come and then to besiege the city. That would bring about a recession. Economic problems, you know, food shortage. Verse 4, and the city was broken up. He likes to break people like that. And all of the men of war fled by night. That's a very pitiful sight.
Yes.
Men of war fleeing. They should be there fighting. Something has happened. Men of war fleeing. Fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. That was the little word that attracted my attention. Plain. The king went the way toward the plain. Verse 5. And the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king, and overtook him in the plains of Jericho. And all his army were scattered from him. The king went the way toward the plain. You know, the French Bible says like that. I'll say it in French. It said, les fugitifs prirent le chemin de la plaine. Those who were the fugitives took the way of the plains. You may be seated.
Amen.
May God bless the reading of the word. Therefore, And that little word, you know, just hit me. How that they took the way of the plain. And I'm not ashamed to read to you the prophet. Because for me, he is the divine interpreter of the word of God. I think in the message, the anointed ones of the end time, he says this, that there is no higher rank that God has provided to interpret the word of God. Because the word of the Lord always comes to a prophet. Therefore, in the message, Jehovah Jireh, that's where now I'm going to start from there. I look at the clock. Okay. because it's a very long study that I made on a subject. If I had to take an inspiration, it's going to be the sufferings, the trials. He said, paragraph 31 in the message, Jehovah Jireh, preached 17th November 55. He said, now, here they are, around 100 years old. And one day, Abraham, after Lot had chose to go down to have a big time in the city, as perhaps maybe he become down in Sodom there. Then he stopped. The well-watered plains. Now he's going to define what is a plain. The fugitive took the way of the plain. Sometimes when some people are having problem, fiscal, financial problem, family problem, when it's too heavy a weight to bear, the easy way for them is to commit suicide. The fugitive took the way of the plain. It's very easy to put an end to your life because things have become unbearable. Too many trials, too many problems. The wife has left you, the children are rebelling. And you can't take it anymore. And the fugitive took the way of the plains. He said, when Lot had chose to go down to have a big time in the city, perhaps maybe he become down in Sodom there, the well-watered plains. Now look how the prophet said. You know, the easy road is not always the best road. That was the plain now. The easy road is not always the best road. The best road is find the will of God. And then travel it. Amen. The best road is find the will of God. And then, amen, that's right. Find the will of God. No matter how hard it is, just raise your hand and say, I'll take the way where the Lord despises you. Amen. It started in with Jesus. Now, Lord, I'm going through. Amen. And Mrs. Lot went down there. And maybe become the president of many ladies' clubs and so forth down there. And Lot became the mayor of the city, or whatever it was, backslidden, away from God, down there amongst those perverted people. Therefore, we found a little definition of the plain, according to the prophet. And Lot took that easy way, the plains. And the king took the way of the plains. And he was arrested in front there. People were killed while they were in the plains of Jericho. And Abraham chose the mountains. Yes. Chose the rugged way. The difficult thing. He told Lot, if you take the east, I'll go to the west. Now let's read what the scripture says about that. We'll read in Genesis chapter 13. Therefore, you give me some time, we'll try. I won't be able to, of course, complete the whole things I've got in my notes, but at least something I'm going to leave with you, that you have to have a mindset already that coming to Christ is not a flowery bed of ease. So why must I be carried home on a flower bed of ease while others fought to win the prize, fought through bloody seas? Therefore, we should have that in mind, that God, the principle of God, if you read the church of Smyrna, Smyrna means bitterness. And what happened in Smyrna, Brother Adam said, that was the pattern to be in all the church ages. Not only in Smyrna, but in all church ages. If you happen to read, before we read that scripture, if you read in the Bible, where Paul one time was going on a missionary trip. He was going to go and strengthen the disciples. You will think that he's going to strengthen them with words of comfort only. Look what the Bible says in Acts 14. You don't have to read it. He said, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples. The friend said, strengthening the souls of the disciples. He went around confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Therefore, he was exhorting them, conforming them, strengthening the disciples, not to give them material things. He said, through much tribulation, that's how you're going to enter into the kingdom of God. I know those kinds of sermons are not sometimes popular. We like to hear things that are, you know, nice. You're going to have 2 pieces of land, 10 cars, you know. And yet, that's the way God is molding people. To bring you, possessing the gates, the enemy's gates. He said this in preaching 8th November 59. He said, was a little year, a few years later when the trials come and the church got all shook up. And as it's so easy for a congregation of people to do when something just don't seem to happen the way that it's supposed to be. God makes it that way. God brings tensions into the church. For every son that cometh to God must be tried and proven and tested. He lets sickness strike you. He lets diseases come on you to test you and to prove you, to show the world that you're truly the seed of Abraham. He permits it by his own will. He permits disasters. He permits friends to turn against you. He permits all these things and turns the devil loose to tempt you. And he'll do all but take your life. He could throw you on a bed of affliction. He could turn your neighbors against you. He could turn the church against you. Can you say amen to that? He can do most anything. And it's God's will for him to do it. We are taught that it is more precious than gold to us. The fugitives took the way of the plain. The men of war fled, were fleeing. Instead of standing to the occasion and face the enemy. For in Genesis 13:8, it is said this. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdmen. For we be brethren. I like that. Amen. Don't fight. We are brothers. Like when Moses came to those two guys who were fighting their two friends, to Israel, and said, don't fight. He came with a peace, like a peacemaker. We are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. The fugitives took the way of the plain. He saw all the plains on Jordan that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even at the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. If you read the scripture well, the Bible said he pitched, the first thing he did, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He was not there. But he pitched the tent towards Sodom. What he thought would be a few days sojourning. The word sojourn means for a few time. A sojourner. You're not there forever. For a time only. What he thought he would be there to sojourn for a few days. He pitched towards Sodom, but he found himself
later in Sodom. So what you think might be something trivial, a little sin might bring you far away. He said sin can cost you more than you want to pay. Sin can bring you farther than you want to go. Do you believe that? Therefore, we don't play with those things. The fugitive took the way of the plain. The easy way. Genesis 11. I've tried to find some places where it talks about the plain. Let's talk, before I get into my message, I want to build something around first. Genesis 11, 1, it said, and the whole earth was of one language and one speech. Genesis 11, 1. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east. I like that little word. They were journeying from the east. They were leaving some place that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. They went to Shinar. The plain. And you know what happened in Shinar? That's where Babylon began. Because they went to dwell in the plain, the easy way. And that's where that everything came from there. If you have time, you go in the message, you will see how Babylon said that place now would become like, you know, like the Pope today. Yeah. They will come here to pay tribute to one man. Amen. It's going to be one world religion. Yes. Therefore, that idea of ecumenical council began right there. Amen. That man now will make all the people come and bow to him. He will persecute them because Nimrod was powerful before the Lord. Not the same powerful like a Christian, but he was arrogant. He was a powerful hunter. He was rebelling against God, arrogant against God. And that's where he began the building of Babel, in the plain there. And they were all in one accord. And they said one to another, let us make brick. Look at the force of unity. I want to make a little point here. They said to one another, go and let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. That's the beginning of Babylon. Eh? And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower with the children of man builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. And they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Look at the power of unity. But now in that negative sense, God is coming down because he's not agreeable to what they are doing. But then he's making a remark. Look at what the force of unity. Nothing will be able to stop them. If God would not intervene in that moment, nobody would be able to stop them because of the force of unity. Look at the force that resides in unity. Amen. Even people in their wrong motives, in wrong objectives, in wrong achievements, they've understood the key to be able to achieve what they want to achieve is through unity. Amen. And sometimes we don't see such things among believers, among Christians. I was thinking about the devil when they got to that man there in Gadara. When Christ asked him the name, he said, my name is Legion. 2,000 devils had one name. They were united in one body to do that job, that work in the body of that man. 2,000 devils gathered in one, and they said, we are Legion. They were not afraid. That's why I find it very bizarre, weird, that we should have had that kind of an example. Amen. To be one. I don't know whether you read the prayer line sometime, but I'm saying, while he's casting out a devil of asthma, he said, but he could see in the spirit realm, he said, I could see now that devil screaming for help. Amen. To another devil right there. Amen. Now, even between devils, they are helping each other. Amen. Huh? Yes. Asking for help. In another occasion, he said, you know what? The devil of lust, he needs another devil to undress the woman. Yeah. Yeah. So that devil will undress her, put tight clothing, whatever, mini skirts, but just to help the other who is the devil of lust to be able to lust. They work in pairs. They work together to achieve something. And how much more, I believe, we people of the same faith, we must reach that level of consciousness, our awareness that we should be able to be together. We are going to achieve things. Even the Lord said, nothing will be able to, nothing will restrain them now. They are going to achieve what their purpose in their mind through that oneness they're having. And I showed you it happened in a plane. The easy way. In the message, there are many. I want to give you some example. He said this. Sometimes when you think things are happening bad, it's the devil trying to block God's way towards you. In the message, is there anything too hard for the Lord? I'll bring it to you tonight to see what you are going through. There are other people who are going through worse than what you are going through. I'll give you some examples of the message. What people have been going through. What Paul has been going through. We'll try to compare ourselves. And how, you know, the key when we are going through those trials, the key word is your attitude. How do you behave in the midst of those trials? How do you perceive that trial? That will be the key that will get you out. Because you are going through a tunnel, I'm sure. But there is light at the end of the tunnel. With that attitude that you have now, you're going to be able to go through it and come out of it. Because Abraham said, God, when he was reading the scripture in Revelation, he said, the bride, the wife has made herself ready. Yes. He said, I like those words. He said, it's not that God pushed you through a pipe and then he pushes you out on the other side, then you have had victory. They said, no. You've got something to do. Amen. He said, the bride has made herself ready. Amen. Therefore, if you don't go through those things, you will never see. How can you say, I have been a winner? I win the war. There has been no adversity. Amen. How would you win even a trophy without a war, without a contest, without a struggle? Amen. Therefore, you need to go through something. It's very obvious. Is there anything too hard for God? He said this. We see in the first part of this chapter, Abraham was sitting in the door of his tent on a real hot day. It must have been a very hot day. Now listen, Abraham, and we are seed of Abraham. He was there on a hot day. Perhaps a lot of complaints have been coming in lately by the herdsmen. Now sitting there, the pastor now, getting news from the people, the herdsmen are coming in, said, look, it's very hot. He said, the land, all the grass has gone. Abraham is sitting now. What can he do? Can he make grass grow? The news are coming. The grass was all gone. The land was drying up. The cattle was becoming very thin. Look at the prophet now talking about agriculture, about farming. Everything is being hit by the devil. He said, the land, there's no water, drought, cattle were becoming very thin, the water supply was just about all gone. They found the water holes in the land, and as the water got low, they would dig out and dig out till they got down to where the water was seeping through the rocks, and still the cattle didn't have enough water to supply them. You know, sometimes when things are going wrong, dark, we know by nature that it's darkest just before the day. Amen. And many times when we see disastrous things happening like that, especially to believers, we must bear this in our mind that it's Satan trying to block the blessing that's on its road. Amen. When we are going through those things, especially as believers, it's Satan trying to block a blessing that's on its road. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Therefore, just change our attitude, our frame of mind to see. It's not like I've sinned. There is a solution when you've sinned. Just repent. Just go and repent. Make it right with God. Make it right with your brother. And then God will take care of the rest. Do you believe that? That was very much so in this case. Satan was trying to tempt them to feel that they had done wrong. And was trying to block the oncoming visitation that God was going to give to Abraham and Sarah. And we are taught in the scriptures that all things work together for good to them that love God. And no matter how bad it seems, remember, it has to be working for your good. I am so glad of that. Now look what it says. Satan has been after me all the day. So I just believe that there is a blessing in store here in this city, somewhere. I know when he tempts and tries to block out, what is he trying to do? Get you to disbelieve. And the worst thing you can do is disbelieve God. In the message, I think the seven seals, he said, in the seventh church, he said, if Satan can get you to disbelieve the word of God, that's what he wants. For you to lose trust in the word of God. He said, and as soon as you get a little scared, well, maybe I haven't done this, I haven't done that, right? Satan's got that blessing conquered for you. You can't get to it as long as Satan makes you think like that. Do you believe that? Amen. He said, now he was going to go and pray. He said, something began to press me, saying, go up into the mountain and pray. Amen. Into the wilderness and pray. Well, I just couldn't get it off of my mind. When anything presses you like that, you go do it right away. Because the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, something to block it. And Mrs. Wright said, Brother Billy, when I ring the old country dinner bell, he said, then supper is ready. Amen. And she said, then you come in, come on in. Yes. And you'll be ready to go back to church tonight. The service was closing for the revival then. And I said, all right, Sister Wright, went up on the hill. I started to kneel down and the green briars was cutting me. Amen. He was kneeling down and the green briars were cutting me. Yes. Well, I moved it over a little farther and it was so rough on the ground, them rocks. Amen. Now after the briars come the rocks. Amen. He got kneeled down. I just couldn't get comfortable with the rocks. I went around the side of the hill and it was leaning too much sideways. Yes, sir. The briars, amen. The rocks. Now the hill was leaning too much sideways. Amen. You know, the devil just trying to keep you from getting the blessing. Amen. That's all it was. Then I climbed up a little farther into the thicket and I knelt down. The mosquitoes were just humming all around my ears. Amen. The briars, the hill is leaning too much here. The rocks, now the mosquitoes. And I couldn't hardly pray and I believed then it was the devil. So I said, oh Lord God, be merciful. I just threw up my hands and started praying anyhow and just let the mosquitoes fill up if they want to. I'm trying to show you that whatever you do for God, don't think it's going to be easy. You're going to have a rough time. But yet a soldier, if you're a soldier, you're not going to flee like those guys. The men of war, you're not going to flee. Going to set your post of duty. I don't know. Just leaving my text a little bit. Solomon said, when you are taken by the words of your mouth, he said, make it quick. Get away from the grip of your enemy. He said, if you made a vow, he said, like the roe in the hands of the hunter. He said, like the roe. Yeah. When you are taken up by the words of your mouth. When now your friend, you made like a vow. He said, get out of it as quick as you can. He said, like the roe in the hands of the hunter. The roe, he said, is an animal, like a deer. You won't see an animal taken by a hunter. He will say to the hunter, go and make a good barbecue of me. No. He will fight. He would just kick the best he could just to get free from the hands of the angel. Solomon was saying, do like the roe, God in the hands of the hunter. Do like, he said, do like the fowl. Take it in the net of the fowler. The bird now, the bird taken in the net of the fowler. It's Proverbs 6. The bird taken in the net of the fowler won't stay by one side of the net quietly. Okay, mister, you can roast me if you want. You can cut my wings if you want. No, in that net, he will fly to all sides possible. He will fly to this one. You've listened to the story of the eagle in the zoo there. He was trying to fly on the corner of the cage, and he was hurting himself. Blood was coming from his beak, from his head. And that's how the little bird there, he would say, he would sit still. Because he knew that now I'm going to die. But I need to do something. I should activate whatever energy I've got inside of me and fight against those things. They were like the roar in the hands of the hunter. Like the bird in the taking the net of the fowler. He said, now go, slothful, sluggard, sluggish. Go to the end. You see, look, they've got no master, no captain, nobody to watch over them. Have you ever seen an ant somewhere just taking some vacation, resting? Wherever you see an ant, it's moving. Amen. You don't know where it's coming from, where it's going to. They are just moving. Amen. On the move to gather the food. Amen. And Solomon was saying, look at those little insects. No master, no chief, no captain, nobody to tell them to do this. And yet, they know that if they don't do what they are doing, they don't gather their food, they're going to die in winter. Therefore, whatever energy they've got inside of them, they are putting it into use to make something good out of it. Therefore, the roe, the mammal kingdom, the bird, the volatile kingdom, the fowl kingdom, the insect kingdom, know that they cannot stay like that. They've got to fight. Amen. The man of war was fleeing. But we are fighters. We cannot, whatever might happen, but God has given us the right weaponry to be able to resist the devil. Do you believe that? We are going to go through those things. God in his word, 23rd March 57, said, now the Lord told him to go down to Nineveh. But Nineveh was a hard city to preach to. So he thought if he'd go over to Tarshish, it would be better. Now, Lot took the way of the plain, the easy way. Abraham took the mountains. He said, now look at Jonah. He said, so he thought if he'd go over to Tarshish, it would be better. You know, there's a lot of us finds that easy route now, the easy way. But God sometimes wants us to take the rough route, the hard way. Amen. I like that old song, I take the way with the Lord to despise you. The Queen of Sheba preached, 1958, paragraph 9, said, let's just stop a little bit on Jonah. Jonah had received a commission from God to go to Nineveh. And there's nothing just providential. And all God's great will is turning perfect. Everything is working just exactly the way he had. Knows that it would work. Nothing is just providential. It so happened. God is omnipotent, omniscience. He knows all things and has all power. Then as Jonah went on his road over to Tarshish rather, trying to find an easier way, because it seemed like the ship was going that way, so maybe the Lord just would send me to this place, to Tarshish, instead of Nineveh. He thought maybe that's the way God worked. God don't always work on the easy road. And things that at your hand, you have to struggle to do the will of God sometimes. Amen. Therefore, it's not the easy way. Abraham said Paul was put in prison. He said, you know why? Because he was preaching the gospel. Amen. He said, that's the reason he was put into prison, for preaching the gospel. Something good. Amen. In the message, thy house, he said, now Paul, he said, they were turning the world upside down. The clergy there added against Paul because he preached the gospel. said when he went down the street and there was a little fortune teller. You know the story, yeah? I won't go. So the one that had her hired out there was probably taking care of her. Why, it caused a great uproar. And I can't imagine Paul, Silas, now listen, laying back in that old buggy jail on the inner court. They were beaten. Look at a man of God. Look at a man now going through such trials, beaten, thrown in the inner jail, old buggy jail on the inner court way back. The outside where the best prisoners were kept was bad enough. Now, the outside where they keep the best was bad enough. Now, but he was thrown there. In that, on the dirt. Amen. And Brother said there was leprosy there. He was thrown where there was leprosy. He was thrown now with his back already ripped, the flesh ripped off the back with the scourges he had from the Romans. He said where the best prisoners were kept was bad enough, but there was on the inside. And when they went way back, they was put in stocks. Did you all ever see stocks? I've had the privilege of seeing them. They put them in across your feet. They put them across your hands, across your neck, and there you are sitting there. I want to ask you, what's going through this? Look at the attitude now. While he's there like that, he begins to sing. In those circumstances, not complaining, oh Lord, I thought that serving you would be something nice. I'll have plenty every day. There will be music in my heart every time, every second. But look, no. He had the right attitude. He said, look what he said. Huh? And just think, Paul and Silas, for preaching the gospel, was laying back in that old dirty place. And probably rats and mice and bugs on them. No, I'm telling you, who has been going through that? He had rats, mice, bugs on them and everything. What a place for a man preaching the gospel. And we think today that we complain because we have things a little hard. I know. We all have our share of problem. We've got problem. We are not immune from problem. Yes. Even in Mauritius, where they say this great development, there's problem there. Amen. There is suicide. Many young people suiciding there. There's a problem everywhere. Amen. But it's up to us to adopt the right attitude. Amen. In the midst of the problem. Amen. I know I won't be able to avoid those things. Because God has said all those who wish to live, you know, a righteous life shall suffer affliction. Amen. But the Lord knows how to deliver those who are, you know, who are pious, who are godly from those kind of trials. Do you believe that? Yes. God will not allow those things to remain on you. He will make a way for you to go out of it. But yet, he wants you to go for the grinding mill. Because he's... Because character is not a gift. Amen. No, it's a victory. Amen. I'm going to say you are not apt to rule unless you've got character. Amen. And the only way that God forms character is through that grinding mill. Amen. He said, and we think today that we complain because we have things a little hard. Look what they did. And knowing what was waiting them, perhaps execution the next morning. But they were faithful. Amen. They stayed faithful. Amen. And along about midnight, I can just think of how they must have felt. Their backs sticking up to the old dirt were prisoners. And it was leprosy. And everything else in them days and laying against the old hard floor might have been a dirt floor and rats running over them. But in the midst of all that, perhaps no supper. Look, he's describing a terrible state. Rats. Mice, bugs, leprosy, you know, all those things, stalks in their neck, in their feet. Now with the back bleeding on the dirt floor. Now no supper. And beaten till they was bleeding and bruised and sore. And no doctor to wash out the wounds. Look, the prophet has a way to describe things. Amen. To put you there and to see how people suffer for the sake of the gospel. That what we are going through is nothing compared to what they went through. But when we compare, we say, oh God. When I was young, I think I was 16 years old, I was reading the scripture in the Bible. When Moses left Egypt, they were singing. Miriam was beating the drums and everything. And God tested them. 3 days after they came to Mara, no pure water. It was bitter. And they began to murmur against God. And I don't know how the English Bible says, but the French Bible says, God indicated a wood to Moses.
Yes.
That's the word which is used in French. For me, there were many trees, many pieces of wood there. But God indicated the wood. It's like something like, not any wood, not any tree. God pointed to some specific tree. He said, take that tree and throw in that water. Once you threw it there, it became sweet.
Amen.
Then I begin to understand, when you go through those trouble, compare yourself to what Christ suffered on the tree of Calvary.
Amen.
That's where God's fingers are pointing to you. Look at that tree.
Amen.
And when you take that tree, your bitum, waters of Marah, will become sweet in the sight of what he suffered there.
Amen.
In the midst of all that, no supper, perhaps. And beaten till they were bleeding and bruised and sore. No doctor to wash out the wounds or anything for infection that we'd use today. Or something like that. Just throw them back there and put them in the stocks and put them in that condition. But they wasn't complaining. Not one word of complaint came from them. And knowing maybe next morning the magistrates will probably call them before the emperor. And when the Sanhedrin, and they'd be executed for preaching this heresy that it was called in them days, the gospel that we truly, earnestly contend for, the same faith today. And then when we go to think about that, then the miles get a little shorter between one another. Each time we go to think about it, and we find out that around about midnight, Paul and Silas must have talked about the Lord until about midnight. And then they begin to sing hymns, some good old Christian song. Oh, if we sing it today, we sing, there is power in the blood. Oh, how I love Jesus. Something like that. Now, look in that problem, what God will do now. I like that. He said, when they begin to sing, all of a sudden an earthquake struck the place. And notice how it done. Instead of piling those walls of that big old building right in on top of them and mashing them to death, it shook the walls away from them. Why they were singing, why they were adopting the right attitude in the midst of their problems. God there made that great miracle. Instead of mashing the walls on their side, God turned the walls over there. God allowed an earthquake to come and deliver them. Do you believe our God? That's our God. Well, I know you are going through those kind of things. A little sermon tonight, just to encourage you. There are those who say, they're my children. I've got children too. And there are those who, daughter, they've gone out of the house. The boy has got out of the house. But look what Abraham said. Now I think the same message. Now I know we all think our gifts is renegades and things like that. We must stop that.
Amen.
I believe we must remember that these kids are the best kids.
Amen.
Look at his confession now.
Amen.
The best kids in the world. Because they are our children. And we claim them for God.
Amen.
Now your salvation will not save that child. But now Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thy and thy house shall be saved. Now, what did he mean by that? He didn't mean that because they were saved, that their house would be saved. He meant this, that because they were, if he had enough faith to be saved himself, his same amount of faith that he had for himself would work for his children.
Amen.
For God now is providing a means. Instead of us, wailing, whining, murmuring, complaining, he's giving us a way. He said, the same faith that you had for your salvation, you apply the same faith and claim your children.
Amen.
Don't look at what you're seeing right now, whether they're rebels or not, but claim them.
Yeah.
Look what the prophet said. He said, now I've got children. That's why I don't like when people talk about the Brother Branham's children. I'm afraid that they are wrong. Because look what he's saying. And then I think in some place I've heard him say, every prayer that I made to God, he answered all prayers.
Amen.
He said, but when he didn't answer, he told me why he couldn't answer.
Amen.
That's in the message.
Amen.
If we look now, he said, now I've got my children. There's my little son, Joseph, and Billy, and Sarah, Rebecca. You know, because when I just came to the message, people came in the pulpit. I was just yet new, very new. He said, hey, we don't have to look to the voice of God. They are not the headquarters. Joseph and this and that. They are rebels. They are the children of Samuel. I was shocked.
Amen.
Why would they talk like that? Look at this. I've got my children. Well, now I want to see each one of them a worker in the gospel.
Amen.
Doing something. I want to see them saved and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now I've committed them to God. And say, I'm holding on to God for them. Now, a prophet is saying, I'm holding on to God for them.
Amen.
And he said, now, see, I believe they are going to be saved. And I'll have them on the other side. And I don't believe my salvation will save them. No, but my faith in God will do it. Ah, now we talk about the faith of the prophet. He said, I see my children there. Now, who are we to talk against them? Because he has prayed already. His faith has already claimed them. I'm going to see them on the other side. And I believe that's where you people are praying for your children. That's the reason your children have the manners and the real lady and gentleman in this wild age that you are living in. You believe that, friend? Just trust God. Don't you worry about anything. The fugitives took the way of the plains. We are not going to be fugitives. I don't know, I never studied the Greek or the Hebrew of those things, but when you look, Paul would tell Timothy, fight the good fight of faith.
Yes.
And I believe the good fight is the fight that we win. Fight the good fight of faith. And then he describes all the, what you call the weapon. The weapon is described about the helmet, about the sword. Describes the belt, the shoe, the sandals. But there was nothing, breastplate. But there was nothing mentioned for the back. It's like everything is for the offensive and... The armor, the shield, whatever, the breast. But there was nothing. It's like, and I've seen the quote, it said a Christian cannot retreat.
Yes.
You cannot go on the retreat. You cannot turn your back on him. You must go forward. Because you've got all the weapon that is needed. Defensive and offensive weapon. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Therefore, just be courageous in the time that we are living in. God wants you to be courageous. He's going to see you through. I'm going to read another quote and then some scriptures before I close. In the message, the seven church ages, Smyrna church age, he said this, now the Lord God Almighty says, I know. There he is walking in the midst of his people. There he is, the chief shepherd of the flock.
Yes, sir.
But does he hold back the persecution? Does he stem the tribulation?
No.
God doesn't do that.
Amen.
But he said, I know. He said, he doesn't. He simply says, I know your tribulation.
Amen.
I am not at all unmindful of your suffering.
Amen.
What you are going through, I know what you are going through.
Amen.
Because I have gone through all those heartaches myself.
Amen.
I've been tempted myself.
Amen.
In every aspect of the human life.
Amen.
And I know. I'm not unmindful. Because sometimes people, they pray to God, don't you see God? How can you say that? The Lord who has created the eyes, what do you see? And that's not the right way to pray. It's not the right way to address God. He sees every circumstance. I know your tribulation. I am not unmindful. You don't have to remind him of what you are going through. He knows. But what he wants is, trust me. Trust me. Because I've got for you, you know, plans of peace. Not of destruction. To give you an expected end at the end of the day. He said, what a stumbling block this is to so many people. Like Israel, they wonder if God really loves them. How can God be just and loving if he stands by and watches his people suffer? Amen. That is what they ask in Malachi 1, 1-3. Then he said, you see, they could not figure out God's love.
Amen.
See now, they didn't have the true understanding of God's love.
Yes, sir.
He said, they thought that love meant no suffering.
Amen.
They thought that love meant a baby with parental
Amen.
Care.
Amen.
But God said that his love was elective. Elective love. And the proof of his love is election.
Yes,
that no matter what happened, his love was proven truly by the fact they were chosen unto salvation.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
His purpose is that after we have suffered a while, we will be made perfect, be established, strengthened, and settled.
Amen.
Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. Thank you, brother. You have to suffer to reign. The reason is for this is that character simply is never made without suffering.
Amen.
Character is a victory, not a gift.
Amen.
A man without character can't reign because power apart from character is satanic.
Amen.
I love that word of God. There are enough in that message to bring us to see those things. In Shalom, he said this. You know when he preached Shalom, he preached it twice only. Two times.
Amen.
The first time he preached it, he said, I want you to put the tape on. Tape on. Because next week I'm going to preach the same message. He said that. But I'm going to preach it in an auditorium. With atmosphere there, I won't be able to say those things that I'm going to say now. Therefore, he knew now the atmosphere with the 30 people that was in that house, that would be the real atmosphere to preach now. Therefore, he told them, put the tape on. Because here I'm going to say things that I won't be able to say with it. And this is a powerful message. Shalom. And the title itself is Shalom. The peace of God be upon you. Eh?
Amen.
He said, let him lead you. Don't try to look ahead. Anyhow, put your hand in his. Let him lead you. Look up. Don't look ahead. You say, why others make fun of me about my long hair? See, now, another way now, that young girl or young boy, they are shy and they are afraid. They are like, they have a complex. They call it peer pressure.
Yes.
And at school now that's why some girls, they will just bring some other outfit in the bag, hidden in the bag, you know. When they get to the classroom, they then they change everything, you know. No. He said, let him, don't. Why others make fun of me about my long hair and me taking off shorts and about me leaving the church? Her suffering for his name's sake is growing pains of his grace.
Hallelujah.
When we suffer, we are growing.
Yes,
these are growing pains. He talks about a young boy running to the house and saying, Mama, I'm feeling all over my body pains, aching. He said, no, son, it's you are growing.
Yeah.
These are growing pains. Your bones now are trying to come out. Right? You're growing. Therefore, he said, yay, suffering for his word. See, he's growing pains of his grace. Yes, sir, just remember, it's a grace of God has been given to you, oh my.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
He says, that's why Paul said, I glory in my infirmity.
Yes.
He said, your grace is sufficient. When this devil that bothers me is the growing pains of your grace, then I glory in my infirmities.
Amen.
God was giving him those things in the flesh because of the abundance of the revelation, of the excellency of revelation. He said, God allowed Satan to buffet him.
Amen.
Just to keep him humble. There was a way that God was working in him to keep him humble. When God was letting Satan try even Job, the Lord said, God had faith in Job. He knew that Job won't recant. He will go on. You know why? Because he was a part of God in Job. And that portion of God in Job, if you read the same message, thy house, he said, a shadow of God's power in you will be sufficient to create another world. God's power residing in you. Do you believe that?
Amen.
That's why Job, you think a man sensible in his mind like Abraham will go and offer his son? No, can it be done? Go there and offer his own son. He has been waiting for him for 100 years. Now maybe he's reached 15 years later. That a young lad, beautiful boy, now going to offer that man. Nah, I believe it was God in him.
Amen.
Because he said, without me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
It was God propelling him. It was God in him fulfilling that very thing. Do you believe that? Therefore, whatever you do, whatever you realize, you achieve, it's God. Just raise your hands and say, Lord, I can't bear with that situation. I know. But yet, Lord, I know you are. If you read 1 Corinthians, I don't know how it is said really in English. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, as he said, Brother Elijah, he said, God who is faithful will never, he said, every temptation which comes to you is human. The French said, aucune tentation qui vous est survenue n'a été humaine. Everything that you have is human. Therefore, it's in the realm of the human. God won't give you something that you cannot confront. Then he said, but the God who is faithful now will not allow that the trial be over your what you can bear. Now, not only he will allow a temptation to come your way, that it will be human, in the human realm, but also he will give you the strength to bear.
Amen.
So that you can escape it. Okay. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now, secondly, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able.
Amen.
Just listen, in the natural realm, if I have to tell my little grandson, Joel, he's 3 years old. I said, Joel, carry me that bag of cement, 50 kgs. That will be, I'll be out of my mind.
Amen.
3 years old, yes. Tell him to bring a bag of cement, 50 kgs.
Amen.
He wouldn't be able to bear that thing.
Amen.
Now, how come a father like me, your grandfather, can think like that? What about God?
Hallelujah.
But God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape.
Amen.
That ye may be able to bear it.
Amen.
Therefore you must be able to understand that God will never allow things to come your way that will destroy you.
Amen.
He will prepare a way of escape.
Amen.
He is doing that for the purpose. You have to say, Lord, thank you. I know I'm going through this. I don't understand why. But yet, that's your word. And in the message, the fundamental foundation for faith. He said this in the very beginning. To show how we must trust God. He said, if a young man goes and asks for a girl for marriage. He said, what he will do sensibly, he will go and inquire about the parents of that girl. Before he asks for her hands, he will go and inquire what kind of a family she has been living in, the surroundings. He said, what now if he cannot get to those information? He cannot get this information about the parents of the girl. He said, he will have to trust the words of the girl. To be able now to be a partner in life partner to that girl, he will have to trust the words of the girl. Because there is no other way for him to contact the parents to see how she was. That's what Batman said. Trying to say now the same thing. Whether we see or we don't see, we have to trust God.
Amen.
Trust him. Whatever he's saying, we just believe it.
Amen.
Like that girl would tell that boy, I have a nice family. I've never known any man. I'm this and that. And that boy has to believe what she's saying.
Amen.
Because he has no other recourse. No other way to be able to verify what she's saying. Therefore, he has to take her by his word, by her word.
Amen.
The same thing. But we have enough proofs of the work of God, of the power of God, of the miracle that he did. We have enough witnesses of God. But even if we didn't have this, we have to be able to just say, Lord, I don't understand. But I trust in you.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
I glory in my infirmities. He said, you know, sometimes when they went through that fiery furnace, it only loosed them from the bends they had around their feet. Yeah. While you are going through those things, it takes hard trials to break the bends of the world off of us. Therefore, God allows those things to happen. He's doing some work. He's breaking the bends of the world. He's loosing us from some things that are retaining our walk. But you don't see it, but he's doing that. May God be blessed this afternoon. Amen. Let's read Genesis 19. I want to show you another example of the plains. The fugitive took the way of the plains. Genesis 19. Let's read together. I like one place Paul said, the light afflictions that we are going through now cannot be measured with the eternal weight of glory.
Amen.
And if you read the light afflictions of Paul, beaten, scorched, put into prison, 3 times 40 less 1, amongst false brothers, on the sea, in perils between, you know, countrymen. Many, and he called it light suffering. The light sufferings cannot be compared to the eternal weight of glory.
Amen.
It's as if Paul has put a scale to measure the light sufferings.
Yeah.
10 kgs. 10 kgs, that's the light sufferings. Yeah. Cannot be compared to the eternal weight of glory.
Yeah.
Hey, can anybody tell me what is an eternal weight? Compared to 10 kgs.
Amen.
10 kgs of suffering. 10 kgs of scourgings, of trials, of testing. 10 kgs. The light sufferings are producing an eternal weight of glory. When I put it in the scale, the glory goes down the eternal weight.
Amen.
Don't forget, I told you the last time I was here, you can't go to glory without first suffering. There are many scriptures. Go in your scripture. Put it, sufferings and glory. You will never go to glory without first going through sufferings. Therefore, I was saying, let's take 2 more scriptures. I'm going to close. Genesis 19, verse 15. That was Lot now. The angels talking to them. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy 2 daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed the iniquity of the city. If you read that scripture, I was shocked when I was reading it there in the hotel room there. You know what he said? He gave to those Sodomites, he said, take my 2 girls. They haven't known any man. And you come further down, he was talking to his sons-in-laws, who married those 2 girls. They thought he was joking. And yet, Lord was saying, take my 2 girls. They haven't known any man. And yet they were married. Look at the Sodomite condition existing in that time.
Amen. Amen.
And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy 2 daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his 2 daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. You know what was that? It was immediate boarding.
Amen.
You know? The time is for immediate boarding. They were lingering, you know? Yeah, we speakers said, immediate boarding, gate number 7, Mr. Lubanza, Jikusa, immediate boarding. Sometimes we are doing window shopping, you know? Duty-free shop, trying some, testing some perfume, you know? Looking at some camera, immediate boarding, last call, but you know? And that's what the angel was doing. Immediate boarding. Let's go! I don't have time to linger anymore. And that's what's happening today. We don't have time. Time is no more.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
Let's go. Let's go. Right.
Amen.
That's what happened to Rebecca. She was dilly-dying. She was listening to her brother, her mother. They were trying to retain her.
Yes.
Then said, no, don't delay my assignment. Don't delay my mission. I've got to bring you to my master, Isaac. Let's go. Get on the camel. Let's go.
Amen.
Immediate boarding on the camel. Let's go. And that's what's happening today. Immediate boarding. Get quick. Now listen. While he lingered, the man laid hold upon verse 17. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain." Not only stay in the plain, escape the mountain.
Amen.
Lest thou be consumed.
Amen.
The plain, the easy way. The fugitives took the way of the plain. And the Lord said unto them, "Oh, not, look my way, not so, my Lord." Now the angel is giving an order. He's giving a command. Let's go to the mountain. Let's go walk the seven steps to perfection. Let's go to the top of the mountain. But he said, "No, not so, my Lord. Behold, thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy which has shewed unto me in saying, man, I cannot escape to the mountain." Now, what God tells you to do, he knows you can do it. My God will never ask you to do something that he knows you can't do it. Therefore, when he tells him to go to the mountain, because he knows he can go to the mountain. But now he's arguing with the angel. He said, "No, I don't. If I have found grace, let me go to the plains. I cannot escape lest some evil." God never talked about evil. God came here to rescue him. There was no evil mentioned. He said, "Go to the mountain." But now he's arguing. You know what he's doing? He's looking for what you call an alternative solution.
Yes, 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 yes.
He's looking for a middle way, a compromising solution with God. Let's compromise. I cannot do that.
Yes, yes.
I cannot live that kind of a life as a Christian message believer. Let's do so compromise. That's what that man do, Jeroboam. What he did, he saw that all Israel was going to worship in Judah. Because the name, the place where God chose to put his name was in Jerusalem.
Yes.
Therefore, they all were going to the right place of worship. Therefore, what he did, he gave them an intermediary solution.
Amen.
A compromising solution. A convenient worship. Why do you have to travel that long to come to church?
Amen.
Let's build something there. Let's go. Let's stay house. Listen to the tapes. It's as good as coming to church. No!
Amen.
No!
Amen.
Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together.
Amen.
Putting the tapes will replace your time at the church.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
There was a bigger solution. There was, he put now, what he's very clever. He put two calves, huh? And he named them Bethel and Dan.
Yeah.
He gave them now Bethel, the house of God. Whereas the house of God was there, the only place where God has chosen to put his name was there in Judah there. You understand what I'm saying? He's proposing a solution in the middle, just to a convenient way of worship. That with God, we are ready to go all the way.
Amen.
He said, "I cannot escape. Behold, this city is near. It is a little one. Let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." Now he's saying, I don't have to make much effort. It's a little one. I don't have to run that far. They don't ask for tithing. they are not that demanding in the way they worship. You can wear all the type of clothing you want. You can put 25, what do you call it? Home cinema. everything is allowed there. Is it not little? But when the angels say, "Go to the mountain, go to the mountain." And you know what happened? That was the end of that man committing incestual relationship with the two girls. I believe if it had gone on the mountain, things might have changed.
Amen.
Obeying fully.
Amen.
Not partial.
Yes,
go to the mountain. Don't try to fight, to argue with God. What he says, you just do it, whatever he says.
Amen.
I'm going to release just a last scripture. Joshua 14. A little thought tonight. The fugitives took the way of the plain. We are our fighters.
Amen.
We are going to take the way of the mountain. Joshua 14, verse 6. Joshua 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh. Now what is he doing? Remembering, he's reminding them of the word of God. He's reminding them of the promise that God made to him. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Look now. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord God. He followed God wholly, not partially. Now he says, and Moses swear on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the word of the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am in this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses. I don't understand why people today, 20 years after, you have gone down like that. No, I'm strong today, or even stronger than when I began my walk in the message of the hour. You mean that? I'm strong today. As I began then, I'm still strong today. Because I followed wholly the word of God. He said, set me. Say, as yet I'm strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, the men of war fled. But look, 85 years old. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this plain. Give me this plain. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. I don't want the easy route. I want the rough way. Because God will be with me in all my temptations. God bless you tonight. But don't worry. Just be comforted. Whatever you're going through, God will take care of it. Amen. Don't try to take the easy way. Just go with Jesus Christ. Hard way. But yet there is deliverance there. You just believe him. God bless you tonight. Oh, happy to preach to you. Let the pastor come. Don't worry. A little message to comfort you tonight. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand, saints. His stature's small, like I said, but his preaching's big. May the Lord bless. Thank you so much, bro. Wonderful stuff. Don't you feel inside of your soul, give me my mountain? Yes. Is that not your prayer and your desire? Don't choose the way of the plain. It's false. It's a false solution. The temporary way is never the real way. It never pays off. You just better do it right the first time. Go all the way. No matter the pain, the struggle, no matter what it is that you've got to face up to, it pays off in the end. Let's sing that song. Because thou hast chosen the hardest way. And the voice said, it's my way. That's the wonderful thing. Amen.
Because you have chosen a narrow path. Highest way. There's a great portion of heaven.
Great portion of heaven
is waiting for you because of what you designed.
That was the prophecy.
Yeah.
Dream. And he's trying to get to the top of the mountain, and he got to the place, and there was the great wilderness. And the prophet said to him in the dream, says, you got to walk a portion of this journey yourself. And he says, but Brother Branham, how will I know how to get there? How will I know? It's the same as we're saying. There was the bloody footprints. Just walk in the footprints of Elohim. Because when Elohim was made flesh, it was bloody footprints, friends. It wasn't an easy way. It was the way of the cross. And there's no other way. The way of the cross is the way to the crown. There's no other way. Let's sing one more song. Let's sing that song. And when the battle's over, we will wear a crown.
Amen. Am I a soldier? Oh, the cross.
Oh,
song says, when the battle's over. The battle's not yet over. We're still in the midst of battle. And that's why the Lord continues to equip us. He equips us with His word. He equips us with His spirit. He comes and He inspires us. He strengthens us. He guides us. He leads us. He raises us up in the midst of battle so that we can see the way once again. He calls us apart for a season many times so that He can make the battle plans clear to us once again.
Amen.
Our friends, the Lord is good, and we do thank Him upon this night. Hallelujah. We so do appreciate the word of His grace. And may the Lord help us ever to be faithful to Him. I'm sure that's your desire as well. Friends, which are the times that you regret inside of your life is when you try to take the easy way. But which is the road to glory? The road where you've really communed and fellowshipped with Him. The road where something's really been established in you. The road which has brought forth testimony and experience and things that can benefit other people. Things that other people can draw upon inside of your experience. That's when you chose yourself.
Hallelujah.
The hardest way, the narrow way. That's God's way. Like Abraham, like Brother Ananda said, it was God in Abraham that chose the way to go to Mount Moriah, to offer His only son. And that's when he saw the spoken word. That's when the blessing came forth.
Amen.
So let's gird up our loins once again this evening, saints. Let's look at the prize. Let's look to the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
The one who started the work in us, who will be faithful to complete it. Let's look at the one who's gone before, who spoiled powers and principalities,
Amen.
Broken through. He's our great Arnold von Winkelried. The one who slayed the enemy, opened the way for us so that we can gain the liberty that comes with victory. I'm sure that's your desire. Whatever your desire,
Amen.
Raise your hand to the Lord this evening. Let's unite our faith together. Just really, really wanted to pray for Brother Nanda that the Lord will bless him on the way back. Bless him. Bless his family and his church. So do appreciate the time that you've been together. Do so appreciate everybody who supported and helped, even as he said. So much thank you to Brother Lubanza for his kindness towards Brother Nanda as well and looking after him in these days. We do appreciate it all. Heavenly Father, we just want to come and thank you upon this night. We just thank you that, Father, your way is the best way. Your way is the correct way, Lord. Father, not our will, but thy will be done. We thank you once again for your word that comes to gird us up once again, Lord. Your word that comes to equip us. Your word that comes, Lord, to give us wings once again, that you may rise up above whatever we're going through. How we appreciate your word, Lord. How we appreciate the message of the hour. How we appreciate the prophet that you sent who chose the harder way. And Father, we saw the fruits of that way. And now, Father, you've given the baton to us. And Lord, we just want to follow in those footsteps as well. May you grant us that grace. Father, we do thank you for the ministration of your word. We thank you for gifts that you put inside of men. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, Lord, to send our way one by one, Lord. Father, thine servants to come to minister unto us. Father, we appreciate and we thank you, Lord. We never want to take these things for granted, Lord. But you want to worship thee, Lord, for your goodness unto us. Surely you are Jehovah Jireh. You see our needs, Lord. And Father, even as your prophet said, Lord, that whatsoever we need, you'll give it unto us. So, Father, we bring our needs even upon this evening unto thee, knowing, Lord, that you've already made a way. Father, that you've already made a solution to whatever we're going through. Just guide us your way. That, Father, you may achieve your purpose through the things that you're leading and guiding us through, Lord. Because, Lord, you know that your way is the right way. It's the good way. Father, it's the way, Father, that brings forth what you desire to bring forth.
Amen.
Father, I do pray for Brother Nanda. I pray that you'd restore his strength.
Amen.
I pray that you'll renew his strength. Thank you that you gave him rest in these days.
Yeah.
I pray that you'll bless him even as he'd go back flying tomorrow, Lord, and take him safely back, Father. Bless his wife, we'd pray. Bless his children. Bring him safely back to his congregation, we'd pray. Bless that work, Lord. Bless all that is being done, Father. Continue to use them. Father, continue to lead and guide them, Lord. Bless the missions work. Bless the youth work. Bless all the prison work, Lord. Bless the evangelism. Bless all that is being done, Lord.
Amen.
Bless the ministers that are there, Lord. Father, raise up gifts in the midst for your glory. And bless each of the officers, Lord, faithful in their post of duty. Bless each brother and sister, their Sunday school program, all the things that they do. We ask of thee, Lord, for your blessing upon them, Lord. Father, we so thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to associate in these days, Lord. Continue to watch between us. Continue to keep us and guide us, Lord, until you'd give us, by your mercy, Lord, opportunity to meet once again. This side of eternity would be our desire. But, Father, we thank you, Lord, for what's been achieved. We thank you for what you've done. Now this night, Lord, we pray your blessing upon your people as we go from this place. We pray that you'd minister to every need. Father, we pray. Where there's healing, Lord. Father, you said you sent your word and you healed them, Lord. Father, where, Lord, there's confusion, Lord, we thank you that your word is the dissolver of doubts. Father, that you are the great Zaphnath pioneer. You are the great revealer of secrets, Lord. And we just pray that you'll make everything clear, make everything plain, Lord. Father, you are the voice behind us that says, turn thee to the right hand. Father, continue to guide us, Lord. Father, you know the needs that we have in our midst. You know the desires that we have before thee, Lord. Father, guide us, we pray. Bless Brother Lubanza. Continue to bless him and guide him and lead his footsteps, Lord. Even his ministry and his calling as well. Even our brothers that have joined us at this time, Lord. Bless them as we prayed. Establish them, Lord. Father, let them be a blessing and may they receive a blessing is our prayer. Now, Father, we pray for your traveling mercies as we go. Father, going on these roads, Lord. Father, we're looking unto thee. May thine angel go before, Lord. Keep us in the way, Lord. Bless our children, we pray. Even, Lord, that quote from thy house, Lord, how we just apply our faith upon them, Lord. That, Father, you would bring them in, Lord. We thank you for wonderful children that you've given unto us, Lord. In this rebellious age, Lord, where, Father, Lord, Father, there's such disrespect. But Father, we thank you for the grace that you've given unto us, Lord. Bless each home, bless each mother and father, bless each husband and wife, Lord. Father, bless and bring those in that haven't yet come in, we'd pray. And fathers would look to the weekend and whatsoever there would be, Lord, let your will be done. Father, guide us now, Lord. Father, as we depart from this place, we thank you that we came to this place this night. We've been blessed and we just want to bless you and thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. God bless you, brother. Let's sing one more as we dismiss. May the Lord richly bless you, brother, until we meet again. Amen.
My everlasting portion, more than gain, no life to me. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior lived, me walk close to thee, close to thee, oh, close to thee. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, me walk with thee, not for evil. My prayer shall be.
Lord,